he'll sort of fill in the rest a bit later. But Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressing to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he said. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The man with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sounds of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. May God speak through his word today and may it transform the people we are. God bless.
Look, people can be terrible about things they don't understand. If they find you, they'll probably lock you up in a lab somewhere. It'll be bad, trust me. The only person you can show yourself around is me, okay? So let's practice, you ready? If you see anyone besides me, what do? Great, perfect. Come back now. Okay, so let's say we're driving, right? We're driving and all of a sudden, oh shoot, somebody's there, hide, hide, behind!
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
So how many have seen that movie? Couple? You've seen it down the back? Excellent. It's a great movie. I'm sure that you all go home now and look that movie up, won't you? It's called Bumblebee. And it's a story about the transformation of a car, Volkswagen, into a transformer. Now, I need to probably enlighten some people today. I know all the kids will be able to sort of know what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of series of shows and cartoons about Transformers. And there's these things that transform from one thing into another. So just as we have here with Bumblebee, the name of that character, that transformed from being this Volkswagen into this
robot
or something. I don't know what it's a transformer. That's what they call them. And there's quite a bit that we can learn from them, actually, and because it's really about change. And the main thing, of course, about these transformers is that they change from being from one thing to another. And we're going to reflect on that a little bit this morning, not for too long, but to think about change that happens in our lives. Does change happen in our lives? And what does it look like? Actually, just a few moments ago, we reflected on that. We're going from one thing to another. There's a change. But does that continually happen? How does that continually happen? If we go to the Bible, of course, there are many stories and many characters that we could look at about this incredible change that happened in a person's life when God came into their life. And one that particularly stands out for me is this transformation of this man, Paul. We would know, many of us would know this man, Paul, the Apostle Paul. And it wasn't just a name change. See, before his name was Saul, but then this radical transformation happened and he became Paul. But it was far beyond just having his name changed. If you were to go back into and look at a little bit about who Saul was, we know that from history that Saul was raised a Jew and trained as a rabbi, and over this time became a violent opposition. He became into violent opposition of Christians. He really hated Christ and his teachings. And even though he's a rabbi, even though he was a religious person, he was vehemently against anything that had to do with Jesus. And he almost made it his mission to get rid of them, to eradicate all these Christians. I think in modern terms, you could almost say that he was a terrorist, because he did these things in the name of his faith, in the name of what he believed his God was, to eradicate other beliefs and other people who were Christ's followers. We first encounter Saul actually in chapters 7 and 8 of Acts, and we first read about him in the martyrdom of Stephen. So Stephen, this great man of faith, was being stoned and killed for his belief in Jesus. Now, while Saul sort of had no part in actually stoning him, he was there standing on the sideline, the Bible says. He was there almost in sort of standing there in full support of what was happening before him. In fact, after they had stoned Stephen, the Bible says that they come and laid the clothes of Stephen at Saul's feet. And I'm wondering today, because the Bible says that when as Stephen was dying, he said, "Forgive these people who do this to me." And I wonder how much an effect that would have had on Saul right then, but as he became Paul through his ministry, and really to the end of his life, became as Stephen and ended up the same way at the end of his life. Before Paul came to Christ, he committed himself to being a rising Jewish leader of an avid Christian and an avid Christian hater. He felt no remorse over his persecution of the followers of Christ. And in fact, he regarded it really as his service to God. He had no desire or felt no need in his heart to become a Christian. His religion satisfied him in every way, and he saw no need for anything else. But all this was about to change. As we move into chapter 9, as Sharon read just a few moments ago, we see Saul on his way to Damascus. Now, Damascus was quite sort of a distance away, and it would sort of give this picture that Saul would go to the extreme, to any length, to try and eradicate all the Christ followers. But little did he know that God had another plan for him on this journey. A plan that would see Saul become Paul, to live a life transformed and for an entirely different purpose than he intended. Certainly, as he headed out that morning on the road to Damascus, he would have had other thoughts in mind. And the end of the day was something completely different. A day that would see Paul being transformed from being the Christian-based worst persecutor to becoming its greatest defender. It's really an incredible story of transformation. And if you were to read down through the rest of chapter 9, I would encourage you to read it there as you go home. We see how this transformation happened and the things that the sort of events around this story. Because this transformation not only involved Paul, but it also involved Ananias, this other man who really had to change as well, because he was told to go and talk to Paul, to go and pray with Paul. Now, I'm sure, as the Bible says, and for other Christians around at that time, there would have been great fear. And here he was going to meet this man who really would want his life. But Ananias obeyed and went and prayed with Saul, and the transformation was great because of what Jesus did in his life. Paul's transformation was so radical and his reputation so bad that at first almost no one believed that something had happened. I mean, would you? If we said today that actually, put in modern terms, ISIS, actually they've changed. They're actually for us now, not against us. We would be hesitant. And this was what it like to put ourselves in the context of those early Christians, to have Paul now walking amongst them and talking to them. Who Paul became. Word quickly spread that Saul, the persecutor, had become a Christ follower, and it wasn't long that Saul, now Paul, proved to be genuine in his faith to the point where he was not only living out his faith, but doing all he could to get as many others possible to do likewise. In fact, the transformation in Paul made such an impact on the New Testament that we read about it in three separate occasions. This incredible story of this account being recalled of Paul's transformation. You know, Paul's transformation story is amazing because he transforms from having a heart of stone to having a heart of flesh. From being a murderer of martyrs to being one who himself would be eventually martyred for being such a strong defender of the faith. You know, when you think about it, Christianity at its heart is all about transformation. Everything we say and everything we believe is built upon one fundamental and revolutionary premise, that we don't have to stay the way that we are. Our life can be radically changed by God. A life transformed is the miracle that happens when the Spirit of God intersects with human personality. Once God enters the picture, a person's life will never be the same again. Let me repeat that. Once God enters the picture, enters into a person's life, their life will never be the same again. Until then, you may be religious, you may be a very good person, you may obey all the rules of the church, but without accepting Jesus into your life, you're not really living out a life that is truly transformed. You know, religion is one thing. A life transformed by Jesus is something else entirely. It is a conviction that long-held prejudices can be overcome. Lifetime habits and addictions can be broken. And deeply ingrained patterns of sin can be erased over time. Being transformed is a certainty that what you were does not determine who you are now. And what you are does not determine what you will be. You can be changed. You can be different. Your life can move in an entirely new direction. You know, if you take away this truth from Christianity, it ceases to be a supernatural religion. If the possibility of real change is gone, then we have nothing really to offer than a set of rules. So what's our transformation story? What's your transformation story? In reflecting upon Paul's transformation story today, it's a good opportunity to take a few moments to think about our own story. You know, I think about the time that Jesus came into my life. And while it might not have been a radical occurrence as what we read about Paul on the road to Damascus, the outcome was the same, in the truth that my life was transformed. And whether your story reflects a specific time when you encountered God in a life-changing way, or your story reflects a life of a growing knowledge of God that led you to believe and become a follower of Christ, it's not really that important. What is important is that when Jesus comes into a person's life, into your life, into my life, transformation happens. This happens because believing in Jesus changes us. Like Paul, those who trust in Jesus go from darkness to light, and we've had it all this morning, haven't we? From wrong to right, perhaps from religious in the legalistic sense to being an authentic Christ follower. The good news is that Jesus is still in the life-changing business. He still saves, and he still transforms. He still rescues people who have lost hope and no assurance of eternity with God. There is no case too hopeless for God. The words of 2 Corinthians 5:17 come to mind, which say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The story of Christianity is a story of twice born people. We have to think of people like Zacchaeus, Matthew, the man with the legion of demons, the woman caught in adultery, Paul, Peter, Lydia, the seller of purple, Constantine, Augustine, Luther, John Newton, the slave trader, who we sing a song about, and the list goes on and on. All these people have had their lives transformed through becoming a Christ follower. So what's your story today? Have you experienced the transforming power of God in your life? The good news is that if you haven't, all you need to do is to ask Jesus to come into your life and to give your life to him. You know, as I think about this cartoon and these stories of Transformers, and I think there's some other lessons that we can learn from it. Now think about a Transformer, and for Bumblebee, Volkswagen, yes, great car. I love Volkswagens. But you know, when Bumblebee transformed into that Transformer, into a robot or whatever they are, that's when the power came. And you look at all the Transformer stories, and the kids would know this, that when they transform into this new being, the power comes. They are able to do things beyond what they could ever do in the old. And I believe that's true with our lives. When our lives are transformed, when Jesus comes into our life, the power comes. It's not our power. It's the power of Jesus in us and flowing through us. And we give him the glory for that. The other truth that as I was reflecting upon this and the lessons that we can learn from this is that for all these Transformers, they always have the capacity to change back. And I guess that's true in a sense with our life. That there's this capacity within us all. You know, we get transformed and for some, they change back. Somewhere along the line, something happens or, you know, an incident happens. Maybe someone upset them or something and they lose the way again. And they lose that power of Jesus in their life. They lose that connection. But of course, the great thing about the grace of God is that we can change back again. That all we have to do is give our life to him and hand ourselves over to him. Transformation is a great story, and it can be your story. And I believe that for many of us today, it is your story. That something radical happened when Jesus came into your life. We need to celebrate that. And as I thought about my own transformation story, you know, it happened so long ago sometimes you can forget and you can lose the impact of what that really meant for us, what that meant for me. And I pray today that as we come to a conclusion, as we take some time to reflect, that firstly, for those who have been transformed, who those who are Christ followers this morning, I would ask you to take a moment to think about your own transformation story. To think about those words you said that before Jesus came, this, but when God came into my life, now this. And to celebrate that this morning. To give thanks to God for that. For his continual work in you. And I don't know, maybe there are those this morning who are still thinking about what does it really mean to be a Christ follower? What does it really mean to hand my life over to God? Well, I can assure you that when you do that, when Jesus comes into your life, transformation happens. The old is gone and the new has come. We're going to just reflect. The group's going to play for us Amazing Grace and this wonderful old hymn of the church. And I think why this song is so powerful and so many people gravitate to it, it's because it sort of sets this picture of something that happened in a person's life. This person, if we know the story, was bound, but now I'm free. It's a wonderful song. So we're just going to start playing the song. And whether you bow your head, whether you close your eyes, or whether you just sit there and reflect, just take a few moments to think about your transformation story today. Quietly together, just the first verse. Father, we want to thank you so much this morning for the hope of transformation, for this work that you want to do and have done in many of us here today. And Father, we pray that as we've reflected on our own transformation story, or maybe even as we're thinking about what it means for us today, that we will look to you, that we will see your incredible power that can invade our lives and make a difference, that change can happen, that we don't have to be stuck, we don't have to be caught in addiction, or we don't have to be caught under anything that would bind us, but we can be free in you. So Lord, we give you praise this day for who you are and what you mean to us. We thank you for your transforming power within us. And we give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I just would encourage that if anyone would like to sort of talk about this anymore, maybe you have some questions today about this, then please feel free to talk to us after, or certainly for Tim and for Karen, and we would love to talk with you and even pray with you if you'd like to seek us out after the service. Well, we're going to conclude today with a video clip, and it's a blessing, a benediction, which is a blessing. And so we've been using this for a little while now, and we're looking after Maroochydore for a little while, and we started using this in all our services. And we've actually now started to use it as we've been going around and sharing in other congregations. But it's a beautiful benediction that we want to leave with you. It's a powerful benediction. And as we listen to the words and as you watch the words, allow these words to wash over you this morning as a benediction. Take them on and take a hold of them as we go from this place into this week that is ahead. Thank you for allowing us to share with you this morning. We do pray God's blessing upon you. We thank God for the transformation, not only in a person's life, but in this church's life. Think of what was, what is now, and what is to come. There's great hope. May God bless you.
As you go, go with God.